Word of mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. The Olympic Games strain national budgets and infrastructure, and the competition stretch the limits of the human body. But rarely do the Games push the boundaries with political statements. In the 1968 Games, American runners Tommy Smith and John Carlos did. After placing first and third in the men's 200-meter race, the eyes of the world were upon them, standing barefoot on the medals podium when they took a stand.
And in perhaps the most famous gesture in Olympic history, they raised their fists during the national anthem to show solidarity with the civil rights movement.
That's Dave Zirin from the documentary Not Just a Game, describing what is also one of the most iconic images of protest from the civil rights era. The champions forfeited their medals, were kicked off the team, and sent home. Now, Dr. John Carlos is speaking out about the fallout from that seminal moment and the role of athletes as activists. John Carlos, welcome to Word of Mouth.
I'm honored to be here. I might start by correcting you a little bit. You stated that they've taken our medals. This is propaganda and falsities. They've been propagandizing for the last 48 years. They never took our medals. They attempted to intimidate us and tell us they were going to take our medals, and I stepped forward and told them that they had no right to take our medals because they didn't give us any medals. They didn't knock on our door and put us on the victory stand. You know, we had to go through a process of elimination. By the grace of God, we qualified. We went to the Olympic Games. We had to go through a bigger process of elimination. Once again, we was blessed and we qualified as well to be on the victory stand.
Well, I want to hear more about that watershed moment. Why and how did you and Tommy Smith decide you were going to do that? You were going to raise your gloved fists on that podium.
You look at the circumstance in America at that particular time. We was in a crisis situation as far as humanity went. We were concerned about humanity. Everyone liked to cast it as a Black Power salute or Black Power movement. The Black Power movement was within my genes. I had no control over, you know, my genes in terms of ethnic me, who I am. But what I did have control over was whether I would be speaking for those that was voiceless. And I felt it was necessary to make a statement for those individuals. It was a human rights issue. It wasn't a political issue and definitely wasn't a race issue. It was a human rights issue.
Well, after that moment, what happened in the stadium? What did that feel like to you walking off that podium at that moment?
Well, a couple of elements. You know, we're looking for the sniper because we received so many threats on our lives. So we're listening for the gun because it's that low between initially us making the statement and then them coming out of that mild shock that they had, you know, where they started booing and sissing and doing the things that they were doing. When they started to do that, I kind of smiled to myself and said, mission accomplished, because they could never take back what they had before their eyes. Now the process for them was to examine what was taking place.
Well, so you knew going in that you were going to do that. Do you think that guided your performance in any way, your speed, your sprinting?
Well, I don't think that had too much to do with it at all, you know, other than the fact that I didn't go there to win the gold medal. I went there to set a precedent that I can run if I want to run, but it's my choice. And I choose to, you know, just seek a medal to get on the victory stand. The gold, the bronze, the silver really didn't matter. What mattered was what you saw as that spectacle that day.
But this event did cast you as a rebel, a renegade, you know, anti-American in some kind of way to do that during the national anthem. What was the cost of that to your life?
Oh, it was a negative situation. Employment was very difficult to come by. It was very difficult to keep my family intact, you know, keep my family solid. My kids had to endure, you know, a lot of negatives in the school system once they were known to be my kids. It's a hard way to go. But I would do it, like I said, 1,000 times over. You know, my first wife took her life as a result of what happened in Mexico City. Mm. But she had to die, and anyone in my family would have had to die 1,000 times over because I wouldn't add nothing nor take anything away from what what I had to do that day, because that was far more important than any of my lives.
Well, how about now, when the civil rights of African Americans and people of color again being raised by a protest movement? We have seen LeBron James, Steph Curry, others at the ESPYs. Serena Williams spoke out at Wimbledon and raised her fist, very much echoing the gesture that you did. A number of tweeted hashtags, Black Lives Matter, ask for prayers for Alton Sterling, for Philander Castile.
Those individuals are a fruit of our labor. You know, when you sit back and think about it, you know, Professor Edwards, Professor Carlos, Peter Norman, and Lee Evans as well. We all were gardeners at that particular time, and we tilled the earth and planted the seeds and watered it and so forth. And what you see through these young activists out there now, being an athlete, being an artist, an actor, or what have you, what you see now is the birth child of the 60s.
Mm. You know, we've talked about the tremendous cost on your family and parts of your life. Do you think it is more difficult for athletes today to speak up, you know, in the sports environment that we live in with, you know, these massive multi-million dollar contracts, public faces of organizations, cities, endorsement deals? Do you think it's harder?
Well, I would think it's a far more easier situation. Because if you sit back and gave consideration to the fact that these individuals are corporations within themselves, just based on the bank accounts that they had. So, you know, like if a guy is making $25 million, $30 million, it's not a hard thing for him to step up and be a voice for those that's voiceless. Because if they try and dismiss him from whatever his profession is, he still has enough money and enough brain power to create his own business. That's the problem with most people. They have a good thought, but they don't have any capital gain. These individuals have capital gain. So therefore, they should be able to feel free enough to speak on issues that concern them within their environment, within their communities, within their business life, within the kids of their community's life. They have a responsibility to these individual kids. It's not about them always receiving the applause and taking the bows and so forth. By showing their statement, they're showing their respect to the individuals that they left behind in those various communities. I've moved on, but I haven't forgotten you.
But you are retired now, but you were a school counselor for many years. Did people know who you were? Did they know you were that man?
Well, they didn't have a clue when I went to the campus. When I hit the campus, they had some kids that was cutting out of school, and they was in the restaurant making a whole bunch of ruckus. And police came to me and asked me, would I like to go to the restaurant to try and round these kids up to get them back in school. And we went in one police car, and the other car was coming around, and the officer told the other car, don't turn your lights on. Well, the other officer thought, he said, turn your lights on. And he come around with his lights, so the kids ran out a side door. So I walked to the front door, and as I'm walking to the front door, they're running through the side door, running across this main street. So I eased through the restaurant, went across the street, and then I started running, because they had started running by that time. And one officer was running after one kid, and I shot by the officer so fast, it shocked him. And I grabbed the kid and told him to hold him. There was three more kids running. And I started running behind them, and they turned the corner. And I said, damn, where'd they go? You know, they couldn't have gone too far because I was right on their bus. And I hit one of the kids in the bushes saying, man, who the hell is that old man? He sure can run like hell. And I said to them, all right, guys, come on out from one of there. And they came, man, who are you? And my response to them was, maybe if you was in school, you might have a chance to find out who I am. And lo and behold, these two kids here, three kids, they actually was in a history class 2 years later and saw the picture of the demonstration in the history book. And they noticed my name, and they had a debate or a discussion as to whether that's possibly could be John Carlos. Now, one kid thought it was me, and the other kid said, well, that guy's too young to be Mr. Carlos. So I told him, I said, well, I'll tell you what, y'all going to research it and get back, and we have some dialogue about it.
Let me ask you, that protest from you and Tommy Smith set a precedent, shocked the world. That moment can never be repeated. What do you think?
The world needed a shock. And that's exactly, you know, what we were trying to do, trying to shock them back into reality.
What do you think athletes today could do to even begin to approach seizing of attention for issues that are really important?
Well, first of all, you know, the difference, we in the 60s, we researched and studied the beast that we were dealing with. You know, we had so much ammunition to build the foundation to speak on social issues, to speak on world issues, to speak on humanitarian issues. We studied high and low. So when you come before me with a microphone, it's not like you ask me a question. I'm scratching my head about, you know, why I did what I did. Why I did it at the Olympic Games. I had to have all these answers in this foundation long before I'd gone to Mexico City.
Well, Dr. John Carlos, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thank you so much.
Dr. John Carlos, setting the record straight. He is the Olympic athlete who won the bronze medal in the 1968 Summer Games in the 200-meter and, along with Tommy Smith, raised his gloved fist in a protest gesture that has become truly iconic. You can find links to more about John Carlos at our website, wordofmouthradio.org.